Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, America, and all listeners across the globe. This is Billy Jones, the author of Everyday Folks books and the creator of Everyday Folks Medcast. Today is Sunday, December 3rd, 2017, and I am so delighted that you're able to join us once again for another exciting show titled BJC, The Conversation With. If at any time you'd like to with me during a live broadcast of the show, please do not hesitate to give me a call at 347-539-5372. Again, that is 347-539-5372. And if you'd like to inbox me with your questions, comments, or requests, please do so at everydayfolkslisten@gmail.com. Again, that is everydayfolkslisten@gmail.com. First, I'd like to say a special thanks to the South Florida Writers Association for an outstanding conversation about a month ago. I had the pleasure of interviewing four of my dear colleagues who were all panelists at the 33rd annual Miami Book Fair International here in Miami. For those of you who are not aware of this, Miami-Dade College, a state college in my town, puts on the largest book fair in America. And I've had the privilege of working at the college and also the privilege of working and facilitating, if not hosting, at the fair. And so this is a momentous day for many of our members, of which I am truly grateful. So congrats to all of you on a fine performance a week ago, and looking forward to seeing all the exciting things you're going to be doing in 2018. As well, a special shout-out to my colleague, Anike S., who is the host of Journey into Passion. Just 24 hours ago, she interviewed the amazing Esten Swabi, and that dialogue was so phenomenal. Don't be alarmed. Listen to it in the archive of Everyday Folks Radio, or you can download it through iTunes. Coming up in 2 weeks is another segment of K-pop, Keeping Up with K-pop. Our K-pop girls have been doing an exciting job in keeping us apprised of the latest music happening in Korean pop culture. And so the next segment, the holiday seasonal segment, and the closing segment for 2017 will take place on December 14th. So we have an exciting show today, folks. I think you're not here to hear me give more shout-outs to people. I'm here to talk to someone who I think has it all together and is grateful and is, let me share, create aha moments that we all need to memorialize and share with the world. So before I introduce him, I'd like to read his bio as posted on the blog for the show. Mitchell Phoebe is the aha guy at the Aha Dash, who is a people publisher that empowers thought leaders to share their. He is an accomplished entrepreneur who has created 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including four publishing companies that have published over 800 books. Mitchell is an international best-selling author with 8 book business books, has provided strategic consulting to over 100 companies, has advised over 500 CEOs on critical business issues, and has been chair of the board of NASDAQ, of a NASDAQ-listed company. In addition to these accomplishments, he's been happily married for 28 years and regularly spends 4 to 5 weeks annually in a European country with his family and friends. Mitchell is committed to aliveness, joy, and, of course, aha moments. And I have to say this, I want to grow up to be Mitchell because this exciting life is things that he's doing. I'm taking notes. So my friend and colleague, Mitchell, welcome to the show. Welcome.
Billy, great to be here. Hey, I want to grow up to be what you read sounds pretty good too. I'll take it.
Well, I have to tell you, as we just a few minutes ago before the show started, you and I had a brief dialogue, and I have to share, I've never seen anything like this. There are questions coming in galore from people, and they're coming from not only here in my own hometown. One is from California, Georgia, Illinois, Connecticut, Oh, my gosh. It's growing here. So I have to say
this is beautiful.
People know
love
what
it.
You're about. It's you, Mitchell. So thank you for joining us today on the show.
So no, it's the aha. By the way, Billy, we all want ahas.
Yeah.
We all want excitement. We all want to sort of grow and do something more in today's world because it's changing so fast, and there are people who are being left behind, and so we need to grow and change. Sorry, I cut into you.
No, not at all, and I appreciate your saying that. And I feel that what you're doing, the platform you're creating, is giving many individuals from a variety of walks of life to have their voices heard. So you're providing a forum for them. So I really support that and appreciate what you're doing. But I do have a question.
Mm.
So how can
okay.
I know that when I talked, and I have to share with our listeners, I haven't done my homework. I've been a very bad boy. So Mitch and I promised to try Mitch's product. So that's okay, though, because even though I haven't tried it fully, this is a great chance for folks to realize this is not the person you're visiting. So in our next conversation, I will have done so, and then we'll have even further reflection. But I do want to ask the question about how can anyone write a book in 8 hours? I mean, I'm taking 5 years to put out the next work of everyday folks. So what's the secret?
So the answer comes with, first, how do you define a book? And second, how do you make sure you stay focused in writing it? So I just want to pat you on the back, and I'll say this. I've done probably a couple hundred radio shows like this, and it's a handful of the hosts spend the time ahead of time doing the right amount of research, calling the guests and trying to get to know them better. And Billy, you are one of them, and I just pat yourself on the back. Everything about our interaction has been top-notch so far. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mitchell. And the feeling is truly mutual. Thank you.
Oh, you are absolutely welcome. So how do you write a book? First, let's define a book. In today's world, we still look at the book as the quintessential element of what states us as being an expert. I guess we could spend a couple hundred thousand dollars in a number of years, get a PhD, and then by definition we're an expert, or we can write a book. And since the Bible and Gutenberg Press, you know how important books are. And of course, we've talked about that. So how do you do one in 8 hours or less? Well, let's take a look at how do we consume data today. With all this information around us and so much opportunity to learn and so much coming at us, we kind of live in a 7-second soundbite economy. I mean, as unfortunate or as fortunate as that is, you need to capture somebody's attention quickly. So in the platform ahathat.com, we've defined a book as having 140 soundbites, 140 aha messages, only one of which is necessary to capture somebody's attention. So first, how do you do one in 8 hours? Let's define a book as having 140 bite-sized quotes. And I'll give you an example of one, and this is from the book that I wrote, which is Hey, Did You Aha That? And because, you know, I want aha that to be a verb. And the quote or the aha message is, and I sort of alluded to it, we live in a 7-second soundbite economy. Make it count. So what does something like that do? Well, you say to yourself, oh, it's not 7 seconds, it's 10, or it's 4. Or, oh, yeah, I do have 7 seconds. And when I stood up in front of the audience and I said, good morning, how was the food? Well, that's your 7 seconds. Was that the right 7 seconds to use? Is that the right message to communicate? An aha message, the goal is to get the reader or the listener to actually have a framework change, to actually say, aha, I get it, it makes sense. So when you have 140 of these, it'd be great if somebody reads your book from cover to cover, and it'll take about 10 minutes if they did that. That said, they only need to see one or two or three, and they get this consistent feeling and message from you. They then get the recognition that you're the expert, and then they, by definition, want to do business with you. So let's talk about how you do one in 8 hours. If you go to ahathat.com/author, we have it's a 3-step writing process. And Billy, I won't take too long, but can I go through the 3 steps? Would that be okay?
Oh, please, by all means. And folks, as Mitch is talking, I've done this before. I'm doing it as we speak, too, just so that I get a sense of what the process is like. Because in 2018, folks, I'm going to be creating aha moments with Mitchell. And I think that it's important that you all, if you're listening now, if you have a computer in front of you, better yet, your mobile device, they multitask now. Why not pull it up and join us? So go for it, Mitchell.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, one of the benefits you have, by the way, is teachers and students, we have a scholarship program. So if you're actually at a university or a student today, you can actually write your AHA book and get a scholarship. And if you go to ahavat.com/author, you'll not only see mm-hmm. the three-step process, but you'll see where you can apply for a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So step one.
Got it.
So simple steps, by the way. So step one. Step one is a Word document. Four questions.
Okay.
The simple questions, what's your name, what's your bio, title of the book, one paragraph summary. Question number one is the most important question. So we made it number one.
But
let me tell you how it reads, but then I'll tell you what it means.
Go for it.
How it reads is, what are the reader's expectations? Who are the readers and what are their expectations on this book? So that's obvious. That makes sense. Let me tell you what it really means. The books we like to do, the books I like to publish, the goal of the book is to establish you as the expert. So we don't really, we wouldn't do a traditional cookbook. We don't do poetry. What we do really are books that will allow you to demonstrate that you have expertise in a particular area. So the best way to think about question number one is, who is your prospect and what are their pain points? So this is really interesting. If you're in business, you know the pain points that you solve for your customers today. You know the pain points that your prospects have. You know the objections your prospect has when they hear about you as a service provider. So guess what? If you wrote a book that is focused on your prospect's pain points, when somebody goes into Google and Googles, hey, I got a problem in this area, who do I find? And they run across your book, which covers this area, who do they think is an expert, or who should be included in the list of people they analyze? That would be you. So that's step number one, is a Word document. It takes about an hour-ish to fill out. Think of it as your game plan, your project management plan. It is the thing that's going to tell you, here's what your book's about, here's what I'm going to be writing for. And by the way, when we do a content edit of your book, we're going to review what it is that you want us to accomplish and verify that your messages actually make that happen. All right, that's step number one.
As you're speaking, I'm writing down these steps. And for folks, just so that you are aware, long after this show is over, if you go to my homepage, my website, JuliePaulJones.com, there is a link on the main page titled Who I'm Supporting. So I'm placing a link. It's already there, actually, Mitch. There is a link to your page, which actually provides this information. So folks, if you don't feel you can get in at this moment on the live broadcast, don't worry. Even if you're listening to it through the archive, you're able to follow up through that means as well. So to continue.
Oh,
please,
Billy, that's
step
awesome.
One. So step
Thank
one,
you.
We're defining our expectations. Step two, and it sounds very simple. You simplified a process that many people don't realize that. They think when you're writing a book, they immediately think of the traditional pathway. And what you've done is you've taken a medley. You created a medley of various pathways, from tradition to independent to self-publish. And you created what I feel is like this blue ocean for publishing. And
that's beautiful.
And I think that's great. It's great. And so, but please continue. You gave us your first step, and you were working on the second. Let's continue.
All right. Well, I want to come back to that because it's really interesting. It's not quite self-publishing, but what's fascinating is not only do you get a social media-enabled ebook, but you could turn that into a PDF, a Kindle, a paperback, a hardcover published by a third-party publisher demonstrating your expertise. We'll come back to that.
Yes.
So step two. I have curated over probably now close to 70,000 AHA messages. So when I look at a book and I look at an AHA message, it's easy for me to say, do I like it or not like it? So I created a single-page PDF with best practices. And so if you go to ahavat.com/author, step number two is a single-page PDF that you download. You should print it out and hang it up. And when you write stuff on social media, see if you follow those steps. See if you follow the best practices. So that's an easy one. That's about 5 minutes to read. And by the way, whether or not you publish with us or not, if you're still going to publish a book, step number one is still important. You need that for any book you do, any type of book you do. Step number two, anything you want to do on social media, absolutely worthwhile. So you could use either of those two steps without even, with never even having to publish with us. All right, let's do step number three. Step number three is an Excel document, and that's where you put your aha messages. So that's where we actually, when we look at, when you submit it to us, we do a copy edit, a content edit, and a cover design, but we do it based on the Excel spreadsheets where we did a copy edit and content edit. So it's kind of easy. I mean, I don't want to simplify. I mean, what it does to do a book is you have to have some knowledge, some experience, some expertise. So maybe it's five years or 10 years of being an expert, and then you spend 8 hours writing your book.
It's really kind of, that simple. I mean,
sometimes when people do things, this is, by the way, this is an aha moment. It's a framework change.
It is.
Right? The framework is, how do you convince somebody who you don't know that they should talk to you about your product or service? Well, you have a book.
True.
Well, how could you do a book in 8 hours? Or let me, when I'm done with this sentence, I'll tell you how you do it in 2 hours. But how do I do a book in 8 hours where I still demonstrate appropriately? And not only do I have a book that I could potentially have in a hardcover format, color printed on the inside, but I also have it in a platform that has a couple quarters of social media content that's immediately shareable by myself, by my fans on social media. So that's kind of
so now you're hitting and you're hitting now the other idea of having one piece of content that you can turn into 5 to 10 platforms.
Sort of. I'll come back to that one.
Okay.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break it up. But
yeah.
I'm just fascinated because you're fast-tracking the process. I shouldn't say fast-tracking. You're streamlining the publishing process so that the writer can just focus on the content entirely. And once you have the content, you're able to help the writer translate that and transfer it into the world at rapid speed. That's pretty impressive.
Well, the cool part about this content is this is content they're going to have to use anyhow. This is content that they are, you know, in today's world, if you're saying to yourself, I don't like social media, I'm not going to do social media, what I'll have to say to you is that you will eventually disappear because social media is part of the future. It is part of actually today.
Absolutely.
And you'll need to take advantage of it. So why not, when you spend your 8 hours writing a book, or the 2 hours is we can do a interview of the expert, and what we'll do is we'll pull out their genius and then ghostwrite the book for them. And what we'll talk about is who are their prospects, what are their pain points, what are the objections when they talk to their prospects. And whether or not we write it or you write it, you're also writing two quarters of social media content. You're writing the type of stuff you're going to want to share on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. You're directly. So why not have us a Twitter? Sure, I should have mentioned that. So why not have that into a book that not only content you could share, but content you can get your fans to share.
Very clever. Very clever. And I'm curious to know. So out of all of the books that you published, the number that I read from your bio was 58 plus. In this regard, over 800 you've worked with. You have some impressive numbers here. These aren't small.
So I've written 58, published 800.
Yes. So out of all of those aha books that you helped produce, including your own, which ones do you feel are the ones that, for those of us who are beginning and want to do this and still want to get a sense of some quality content? Naturally, the answer would be that they're all great because they are. But which are the ones, which books or titles would you recommend that we check out first?
Oh, that's a great question. it's hard for any author not to mention their own book. So I'll do that first, and then I'll mention some of sorry, I probably should mention my other books first. But so if you went to, and I'm going to give you additional URLs. I did a book called Hey, Did You Aha That? That book's available on Amazon, paperback, hardcover, Kindle, but it's also on the Aha That platform. And the platform itself is free to use, free to share. So the URL for that book is aha.pub, aha.pub /aha. Mm-hmm. And essentially it is what it'll do is it bring you to the opportunity for you to actually then it will open up. If you haven't been on the Aha That platform, it'll open up an account for you. It'll give you 12 books for free plus the plus that Aha book. And then most of our books, probably 99% of our books are free in the platform. You just need to go in and unlock them so that you have access to read them.
Got it. In fact, I have to share, I recently, about 6 months ago, I found a really cool book online. I was looking for a resource, something that was outside of the textbook in my creative writing class. And I wanted to look for something, find something out there that perhaps was in the freeware world that would allow my students to engage and get some discourse on one particular topic, like writing sensory details. And I came across a platform that was similar to what you just described. And I have to say this, I've come across several since that point, and some of the best works are the ones that are offered for free. And people don't recognize that. What you give out and the more that you get put out there in the universe, the more it comes back to you. And so I appreciate your saying what you just said, because what you're providing is a really cool tool, and you're moving with the times of digital rhetoric. You're moving forward, and you're transforming lives of individuals, as well as allowing the idea and the tradition of sharing and conveying and expressing ideas to flourish in this new form. Good job.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And given that what you just mentioned, one of the books I will absolutely mention is we have a professor emeritus of rhetoric from Duke University, Dr. George Gulpin, who wrote a book on how and why we've been teaching English wrong at college and university for the last 200 years. So you can see his book at aha.pub/Gulpin, G-O-P-E-N. So that would be a good book to take a look at. Let me take a look at a couple others that are interesting. And there's so many amazing books. If you're in the world of mindfulness, if that's a topic that you want to learn about or you're interested in, we have another book, a Latino expert in this space, guy by the name of Daniel Gutierrez. I didn't roll my R, which I probably should have. And his book is aha.pub/mindfulness.
Yes.
And then I thought I'd mention one other thing that's fun. One of the things when you have something that's new like this, 140 bite-sized quotes, is you try to think about unique and different ways to use it. Well, what I've ended up doing is I had this idea to be able to have a phrase in a 100-plus languages. So we currently have 40-plus phrases. So if you wanted to say happy birthday instead of, let's say it's a friend or a colleague, right? And, it's not normally worth the birthday present. You want to do more than just, the standard, you click on the LinkedIn button that says happy birthday or Facebook that says happy birthday. Well, you can actually type into their social media stream, aha.pub/happy birthday. And what happens is the cover for the book will pop up. And then for those that click on it, they'll get brought to the happy birthday book on the Aha That platform, where there's the phrase happy birthday in 100-plus languages.
That
is very clever. If you go to this URL, let me give you a URL, ahathat.com/phrases, and you'll see the phrases that we have. It's so cool. I just did a thing on work anniversary, so ahathat.pub/work anniversary. Thank You is one of my favorites. I often do You Are Awesome. So aha.pub/you are awesome. And it's just kind of cool when the recipient sees it and clicks on it and then sees that. Now, we've only, at the moment, we've only taken two of those books and turned them into physical books. So I've got the Thank You book and a physical book. And then, and I did this because I've got the I'm Sorry book. So I have I'm Sorry in 100-plus languages.
You've got I'm Sorry, too.
And that one's in hardcover. And I did that one because every now and then you got to say you're sorry, and there's just nothing works. So sending them a hardcover book with a note inside, maybe if it's the appropriate thing, the right box.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Maybe that'll do it for you. So is that,
well,
is that
I have
a,
to tell you,
good start? I can keep going, but that's a good start, right?
That was a great start, and it also gives all of us a sense of how the platform works and what you've done. I share this all the time with my colleagues and other authors who are out there trying to get their work out. You have to realize that the lines are obscure now between the print world versus the digital world. They are now. So I really appreciate your offering that those insights. And folks, I know you're listening. Our platform is a little off today because we want to give Mitch the opportunity to give us full account of what his program is about. And I do hope that you will consider creating your own aha moments with what he's doing. So, Mitchell, there are a few questions coming in. I'm now up to about 16. And in our time, we're already at half hour in already. And I had all these questions planned for Mitchell, but you know what? The best questions of all are those that come from our fans. So I'm going to go ahead and get some of those in. So are you ready, Mitchell?
Please. That sounds great. And Billy, I think we may have to do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. This is the first of many, and even if just as an aside, getting together and having a conversation that focuses on one particular aha work and reflections on it, that would be really cool as well to give it an even deeper, in-depth understanding or context to it. But anyhow, let's get to what Mark is looking for. Mark has a question for you. Mark, thank you for listening. He's writing in from Hollywood, Florida. He asked the following question to you, Mitchell. Mark writes, what fascinates you about helping others, Mitchell? Have you always been fond of helping others?
Mark, thank you. It's a really good question. So I'm going to say something really sexist, which is not necessarily a good thing, but I think women are born on this planet and that their natural answer is yes, and men's natural answer is no. So I've been married for 28 years, and having spent that much time with my wife, she's definitely helped me figure out that, and this is the Napoleon Hill focus, the Dale Carnegie focus in life, and my wife really helped me be this type of person. The more you could help other people, the more it helps you. So when I put my hat on in the morning, when I'm having a conversation with whether it's an existing customer, in which case I'm getting paid for it, or if it's a prospect or whoever, and this is where my team has to guard my time sometimes. My job, I want to quickly give somebody or learn enough from somebody where there's a framework I've seen in the world that I could share with them so they could have their aha moment, or if I've never seen this scenario before. I want to learn about it so I might be able to share it with somebody else. So I guess the answer becomes part of it was – sorry, I didn't start my business that way. I always felt when I started my business, when I worked in the corporate world, I focused on being a liaison between groups of people, right? So to some extent, I was helping other people learn something new, get that framework. It wasn't as robust as what I do today, but it was focused on helping people be successful and learning how to do things in a different way as the world changes. And then as I started working for myself in 1997, it's really the only way to do business. It's how you network. It's how people – word of mouth marketing happens when you've done good things for enough people. And in today's world, here's the most important thing. If you do a lot of bad things for people, it's hard to run away from that. So the more good things you do, the more positive reviews you have, the more opportunity that you share, you know, in the mindfulness world, the more karma you put out there, the better your life can become. So.
Great response. And Mark, you know, that I agree with what Mitchell just saying. I always say this many times on air, you get what you put out in the universe. So if you put out great stuff and great energy, it comes back to you in beautiful ways. But then if you put out crap, guess what? That's what's going to swing your way. So I really appreciate your acknowledging that and appreciate you, Mark, for listening. So, Mitchell, here's what we're going to do. We have 17 questions here, and so I'm going to give you a one-minute response to questions. So that way we can get everyone in. Because
I was wondering if you were going to do that. Sure, I'll do my best.
Yes, I'm going to time your question because you're so good and you're so in-depth, but I do want to give everyone a chance to get a chance, a little taste of a response to the things that they'd like to know from you. So here's a really good one, actually, coming from Trenton, New Jersey. Maxine from Trenton, New Jersey asked the following question. Thanks, Maxine, for listening. Who or what inspires you to succeed, Mitchell?
I'm telling you, Billy, your audience is smart. Maxine, thanks for thanks for asking.
They're creating aha moments with you.
they are creating aha moments. You know, if there are two ways to answer that. Who inspires me today? My wife and my son. I mean, family, friends. I mean, really, every day watching people be happy inspires me dramatically. If I was going to frame it as if there's one person in the world that I would love to have a single dinner with, it'd be Mark Cuban from Shark Tank. I was on a panel with Mark way back when in Las Vegas, 1996. I was on a panel with Mark before he became who he is today. And, you know, he's just a pretty special guy then and still is now. And I like his approach to the world, to his family, to his businesses.
Well said. Thank you for that response. And Maggie from Miami, Florida has a question for you. And the question is as follows. I have always wanted to publish a book about other people's lives or the anecdotes about life that have helped me cope. It sounds like the aha guy can help. What is the first step in the process of working with your company? Well, you kind of mentioned this earlier, but you may want to reiterate where Maggie could go.
So you can go to ahathat.com, ahathat.com/author. And when you see the three-step process, here's what I suggest. Fill out step one. And certainly read step two, which is the single page PDF, and fill out 10 aha messages. Don't do the whole book. Just do 10. And then you could say, listen, I heard you on when you submit it, say that you heard Mitchell Levy on the Billy Jones Show, and that you'd like him to give some quick feedback. And I'll make that offer and that gift to you and your audience, because what goes through my mind is I love the concept of doing that. And the question becomes, are you writing the book because it's cool and it's been an area that you've coped with? Or are you writing the book because you now will take that asset, the book, and use it for more speaking, for more consulting, for a product you sell or a service you sell? And if the answer to that last question is yes, then I'd say do the book. If the answer to that question is no, what I'm going to say is, well, what book could you write or how could you spin it that you're going to do something that will also help you? And that's the piece that's interesting to me. You don't just do a book to do a book, because the book itself is not going to be our goal or desire to be the next J.K. Rowling. That's a higher odds than winning the lottery. So what I'd say is do the book that's going to help you in your business today or the business you want to go forward on, and that would be better. So if you can tie that into a nonprofit, that's another way to do it. But anyhow, that what I'd say is make sure that the goals for doing the book is the appropriate goal, and the expectations of what you can get out of that are the right expectations.
Excellent advice. And Maggie, I totally agree with Mitchell. Please make sure, start from the ground up. You look in your own backyard. You don't have to go very far to see what would be of value in your own space as it applies to this production of a book. And then what comes after that, it happens. So I love that advice, Mitchell. And there's a question coming in from Carla from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Mitchell. So we're now moving up the coast here, I noticed. There's a trend here. The East Coast, that is. Of all the business pursuits you have accomplished in your life, which one is your most favorite?
Now, I'm telling you, all these questions are those that have never been asked before, so beautifully done. You know,
They're good.
Yeah, these are great listeners. It's a very interesting thing. I sat on the board of a public company for 9 years. That was pretty cool. Two weeks ago, I just finished a TED Talk. That was pretty powerful for me. Last year, I did a commencement speech at a university. That was pretty powerful.
I saw the video online, actually. I did see that. Well done.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of an interesting question. I think at the time, a long time ago, there was a conference called COMDEX, which was the largest IT conference in the world. I ran 4 conferences for COMDEX. That was a pretty big deal for me. I created 4 different executive business programs at universities. That was a big deal for me too. So I'm giving a bunch of answers. The things that I really liked, I guess, are two. I created a framework in the past of how people can analyze companies, and that's a business that just I couldn't make more than $30,000 a year for 3 years in a row, and I just put that on the side. And I think probably my most favorite accomplishment now is I'm just at the beginning of it, is this AHA That platform. Because what it does is it not only allows me to leverage what I do, but the really cool part is there's a platform that you, Billy Jones, you can leverage this platform to leverage what you do, and others can do that as well. And so I provided a tool that kind of merges the gap between the industrial society and the old way we did things and the old way we do books and the new world of social and interaction. And so that has to be up there as one of my favorite accomplishments.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I would hope it would be, because this is the aha moment we're creating here too. And these questions that are coming in, Mitch, I am astounded by these questions. So I'm going to move as gracefully as we can. And folks, I hold off on any of the calls that are coming in. I see that you're moving from my queue to my inbox, so I thank you very much. So, Mitch, here's the next question. This one's from my colleague, Anike, who is another host and the creator of a show under the Everyday Folks brand. She's hosts a show titled Journey into Passion. And she's always looking and interviewing phenomenal people who are making their life changes to follow and pursue their passion. So her question to you, Mitchell, is what do you feel is one of the biggest mistakes business owners make when it comes to promoting their products or services?
Sorry, this is
a good one.
This is a good one. Yeah, you know, and this is the reason I kind of giggled a little bit is this is part of the talk I just gave. And that is this transformation we have in technology and the world, we are moving from the industrial age constructs. The educational system today, this could be an entire new show. The educational system is all based on the industrial age society. So we're moving from an industrial age world to a social age world. And what's interesting is we don't know the rules, right? So right now, everyone has a microphone. Anyone who wants a microphone has one. And so when a business owner gets a microphone and they believe there's an audience, what do they do? The business owner says, hey, I can talk. Look at me. Buy, buy, buy. My. This is my product. So the biggest mistake they can make is make it me focused versus making it you, i.e. their client focused. And unfortunately, a lot of the marketers out there, the advertising agencies still have it wrong. So there are still many people in industries that are still making money in the old industrial way we do things, and we're moving into this new world. And the point is, you have to act like what you're seeing here. You have to act like what Billy does. You need to give to the world. And as you're giving to the world, people get to know you and say, oh, I kind of
like this person, and I know this person, and I trust this person. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should do business mm-hmm. with this person or this company.
And it's really that simple yet complex, isn't it? It is. It absolutely is. And you know what's funny? At the end of the day, I always say that whatever drives you, we all have drives. We're driven for various reasons. But you have to be driven for the right reasons. And the only person who knows ultimately what those right reasons are you, is you. But if you're really passionate about making that connection and in for the long haul, you have to kind of listen to your constituency and see where they're at and see what their interest is too. So it's a fine line that we have to teeter at times. But I love the fact that at the end of the day, if you're very self-centered and self-focused, you won't get very far. You may get your 15 minutes of fame, and that's about it. And Janet from Atlanta, Georgia, asked the following question. What is the average time, Mitch, it takes a person to complete a work from concept to publication with your company?
I'm telling you, you have not had anyone repeat a question I've ever had before.
Let me tell you, they're still coming.
It's elegantly done.
Really good question. Good listening.
So let me answer this question in a two-prong process. I'm going to give you the standard answer, right? So that and then I'm going to give you the, oh my God, we have something we have to do and we need to move quickly answer. Okay. So here's a standard answer. Typically, and I think, I need to step back for a second. One can first write an AHA book, which is a social media-enabled ebook. That's what we've been talking about. After that, we can then upgrade. So if somebody wants to spend a little bit more, we could turn that AHA book into a PDF and a Kindle. And once on the Kindle platform, obviously, then they're published on Amazon. And I should make it clear, the author owns 100% of the copyright, and if the book makes money, and I say that as an if, books don't always make money, but if the book makes money and sells well, the author makes 51% of profit.
Ooh.
So, and then the additional thing, we can upgrade to a paperback and hardcover. And what we do these days, we're a print-on-demand printer, but we print in color on the inside. And there's nothing more powerful than a hardcover book talking about your prospect's pain point that has color on the inside that you hand to a prospect. I mean, it's think about that versus a business card and what does that mean for you? Okay,
yeah.
So now let me step back.
Great. Yeah.
So in terms of doing the AHA book, it's typically somewhere, I like to say, somewhere between a week or two and a month. And largely what happens is this depends on the person and how quickly they respond. So, for instance, we're going to say, hey, what ideas do you have for the cover? And if they say, I'm not sure, or they say, oh, hey, take a look at my website and make it brand the same, our designer will take a stab at that. And if they like it, then it's sooner versus later.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it really depends on the response time, both about, you know, how busy our team is, but also how quickly the author is at responding. Let me say the quickest we've ever done is we've actually created books live at a conference. So for those who are running conferences, if you actually want to create it live or have it done within a day, we've done that. Now,
That's a really good idea.
It's kind of fun, right? Well, you can actually really do it live, and that makes it so much fun.
Holy cow. So the people can actually see it changing as it's moving.
They see it, absolutely. That's a really good idea.
Right. So when it gets to physical books, you know, the PDF or the Kindle or paperback or hardcover, typically I like to say about 2 or 3 months. Now, the quickest we've ever done it has been 3.5 weeks. From the start of the concept to a physical book in hand. And I think other than pain, if money is not an object, we could actually do a physical book if somebody had a 4-day conference or a 5-day conference, we can grab content on day one and have a physical book on day 4 or 5. So that'd be kind of fun.
Wow.
But for the average person, it's probably 3.5 weeks. Those are our fastest. And in general, it's somewhere between 2 to 3 months. Because what happens is when you – I know that's still fast. But here's the interesting part. Sometimes you don't always want to move fast. So you can write your AHA book first, and that goes pretty quickly. And then when you get to do your physical book, we get more stuff. right? You have a opportunity now to have front matter and back matter. Now, in front matter, it's stuff like your introduction and your acknowledgments. Now, what's fascinating, depending on who you are and what business you're in, do you want to go after or forward? And you know, so it might take a little bit longer if there's a perfect person to do a forward for you. Do you want to get endorsements on your, what we're doing right now for an author, is we're publishing your Kindle book first. We then will do an Amazon campaign, make it a best-selling book, and then we'll do the physical book with the words best-selling author on the cover. So, you know, it just depends on what you're looking for. But so there is an answer, and so what I said there, it's 2 to 3 months is on average is your answer. And then there's opportunity to make it longer or shorter, and it just depends on what you're trying to do.
Got it. That is, and Janet, that was outstanding advice. So what AHA That is doing is providing you direct access and a pathway to the digital rhetoric, which I feel is the best way to go, especially in a time we're trying to, we're looking at our environment situation. This is a great option for us to move to go in that direction in order to preserve. As much as I still like the smell, feel, and touch of a book, I also acknowledge that that book is also eating into our environment. And so, therefore, you're providing this platform where it can readily be received quickly, produced immediately, and distributed at rapid speed, courtesy of digital rhetoric. And, Janet, for more information, you have to check out the page. Check out Mitch's page, which is now available as a link on BillyPaulJones.com under Who I'm Supporting. Mitch, you were going to say something?
Beautiful. Oh, I was going to say that there's still something, a publisher who has published 800 titles, there's still something powerful about a physical book.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
That said, let me say something. Let me answer a question that hasn't been answered yet, because this is an aha moment.
Go for it.
And that is, when you can actually produce a book in 8 hours or 2 hours with the interview and get it done in such rapid time frame. If we stuck with just, and let's assume that we're not, it's not unlimited funds, but we have a reasonable amount of funds. Now we're not just talking about an author with one book. When you could do something so quickly, you're investing your entire life work into this one asset,
right?
You're producing something that solves a specific prospect's pain points. Well, think about how easy it would be to now have a half a dozen books, either focusing on the same prospects or even having a slightly different audience set or a slightly different pain point. And now all of a sudden you could say, just like you said with me, I'm the author of 58 books. That sounds really impressive. And some of the co-authors I've had with those books are amazing. And some of the books are amazing and some are okay. Right. But the thing is, if you're now the author of a half dozen books on a set of issues that solve your prospects' problems, think about how much more powerful you are when that prospect looks at you versus your competition.
Absolutely. I agree. And you know, I have an interesting question coming in that I have to ask Mitchell. Listen to this. It's from Milton from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you for listening, Milton. Great show. I appreciate the dialogue always, BJ. And Mitchell, you are impressive. Maybe you two should do a meetup and have a live conversation of sorts. Mitchell, do you participate in meetups? And BJ, would you consider?
Beautiful. Oh, hey, Billy, do you like BJ versus Billy? What do you like?
By both. And here's a little story. When I was growing up, when my mom loves me, she calls me BJ or BP because my middle name is Paul. And so I told her to start calling me BP because that's the gas station. So BJ is synonymous to Billy. Dr. J, Jay, I have all kinds of names, and they all seem to work. I'll respond depending on the hour in the day. And so the question, though, is a really good one because meetups, a lot of YouTubers do meetups. And this is a great opportunity for fans who follow and subscribe to their YouTube channel to meet up. And it's a general little one-hour show or a conversation on the stage where the YouTuber has a dialogue. And so this is a great idea, actually, Milton. Thank you for sharing that with us. Mitch, what do you think? You know, creating a meetup opportunity where people can come up, and if they have these aha moments, you're probably already doing something like this, but it's under another name or something. So what about the idea of a meetup app?
So are we talking about – so there is a site called Meetup where it's a tool which people use to pull together local meetings.
Right.
Are we talking about that or something
right.
different?
I don't think he's talking about that. Right. Milton's not referring to that. He's referring to YouTubers called meetups. A meetup is an event. It's like a show where all the fans are welcome. They actually sell tickets to this, too. So it's a great way that YouTubers are making more money in addition to their subscription online. And so a meetup is an opportunity to interact physically one-on-one with a speaker or an artist or an individual, a creative speaker.
Oh, beautiful.
And so what Milton is suggesting is that you create a meetup about aha moments and aha.
Well, I have a very interesting thought. So, Milton, if you want to create a meetup where Bill and I come and you sell tickets and we actually come and participate in your meetup in Las Vegas, count me in.
We'll be there.
Sounds like fun.
I have to say, Milton, we're all ears, and we will do whatever is required. You support us, we'll come in, and we'll give you a show to remember. And, of course, we do the show, you know, Mitchell will create a book. He'll create an aha book, a moment for it. Well, I'll podcast it live, so that way you're getting a two-for-one there, too. And
that
so
sounds like fun.
I think it's It sounds like fun. I thought it was a great idea, and one of the most unique questions I've had this calendar year, honestly, on the show. So I got to get two more in. And, folks, I appreciate your sending your messages in. Thanks for the love. I'm squeezing them in. And, Mitch, you have you get 45-second response per question because I want to get some of them really good. So here goes. So here is a question. This one's really funny. This is from Yanni's Ladies from Miami, Florida. So it's right here in my own backyard. Thank you for listening, Yanni's Ladies. She asks, I have a boss. Well, here's her statement. I have a boss who gets on my nerves. However, based on what you described earlier, I believe he is the thought leader. Is there a rule that thought leaders have to be jerks? Should this be added? Should this be an avoided practice to treat people with decency and respect? Maybe I should write an aha book about this.
It's more of a statement than a question. But so let me answer it and then give a suggestion. So in the TED Talk I just did, what I suggested was, in order to be successful in the future, you have to be you. To be a good, efficient thought leader, you have to be you. And what that means, you need to have trust with the people you work with. And you have trust if you actually have and demonstrate integrity, authenticity, and vulnerability. So it sounds to me that the boss is not demonstrating one or more of those elements. And at some point in time when my TED Talk comes out, have them listen to that. That'd be a good place to start. Let me give you one other suggestion. A suggestion for somebody who has a boss who's a thought leader who maybe they don't have the right relationship today. Why don't you take the first stab, whether you publish it or not, of writing the aha book for your boss? And if you actually approached him with an aha book that you could say, hey, listen, boss, I like what you say and like what you do. You just don't like how they do it. But I like what you say and I like what you do. And I've taken the step of creating a book. Do you think we can actually co-publish that together? So if you've done all the work and you make it easy and the boss finds this useful, well, all of a sudden they're going to start treating you differently. At least I would assume they would, because you've given them an asset they didn't have before. And that is a book that represents what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beautiful advice to Yanni's Ladies, actually. Yanni's Ladies, at the end of the day, especially in the world of work, I've seen in my 22 years, I've run across amazing individuals, thought leaders, as Mitchell described, but also individuals who I feel also we're all on a growth pathway, but we grow in different ways. What Mitchell suggested is a great way to really move forward and to see the good and value, because it sounds like you do value what your boss offers. So I suggest you follow up and check out Mitch's page. The link is now available on who I'm supporting on BillyPaulJones.com. Mitchell, here's a very loaded question, and I want you to answer this one very honestly, and as you have already, but this one's going to make you think a little more. And this is from Ramon, who also resides here in Miami, Florida. He wants to know, after it's all said and done, what do you hope is the legacy that you hope to leave in, that you'd like to leave in the world?
It's a beautiful question.
It is.
You know,
it's a beautiful question.
It's fascinating. If it was a little over 5 weeks ago, I wouldn't have the first part of my answer. The first part of the answer is I already did, because 5 weeks ago I was asked to do the TED Talk, which I did in Hickory, North Carolina. And by definition, I believe a TED Talk is a legacy piece, because it's not commercial. It's not selling my product. It is something that I believe is helpful for people as we transition from the industrial age to the social age. So to answer your question, Ramona, thank you for asking. One piece of it is I've left a legacy piece by doing a TED Talk, right? So that's step one. Step two is this AHA.dot platform, what it does is it helps people understand that everyone, if you want to be in business in the future, you have to be an expert. There's so much noise out there. You have to be the expert. Books are still the right thing to do. So the legacy would be first step of the legacy, I want 10,000 people augmenting their living by using AHA.dat and getting paid for what they do. And then after that, of course, the numbers are significantly higher. And the legacy is having an asset that will live. I've done so many things that were transactional in time. So having something that really helps transform who we are and how we think and how we do things, that's a legacy piece for me. I'd be excited about that. And I'm already excited about who I touched, but the numbers are much smaller than they need to be. They're going to be broad.
Oh, well, and what a wonderful way to close, Mitchell. I first want to say thank you. This conversation was amazing, and the questions were very, very deep and very meaningful. So I appreciate you first for taking the time out of your day to be a part of the Everyday Folks family. And no, this is not your last time coming, by the way. I will be bugging you for more conversations. And, yes, I will be making my aha moment with AHA.dat and Mitchell Levy, the aha guy. So this is not over.
No, it's not over, but I'm going to make – Let me make the offer live for those that are listening, okay? And that is, if you decide that you're going to do an AHA book and you think it's cool enough that we should talk about it on the air, Billy, maybe you and I have whoever does the writing on the air and we talk about what they've done.
I'm in, my friend. I totally support and endorse your challenge. You hear that, folks?
How much fun would that be?
Anyone who would like to do this. This would be great, and I think it'll be a wonderful follow-up. This is one of those things that you can put on your New Year's resolutions list. And I say that sincerely, all jokes aside. Folks, this is the challenges out there. Mitchell has offered you the opportunity. And here at Everyday Folks, we'll be happy to provide live broadcast and support and endorsement, not only of the book, for any other publication and promotion you'd like for it thereafter. Let's do it and contact us. And, Mitch, I want to say thank you to you again and to all of our listeners for the wonderful questions. We had folks who were in our call queue who transitioned over into our inbox. And so for that, I thank you. I will be in touch with you. So you have a great Sunday. And, folks, do check out Mitchell. He has a link already on BillyPaulJones.com under Who I'm Supporting. You'll see that handsome guy and you'll see that handsome brand. Do consider creating your aha moments with him. And I'd like to say to everyone else for listening, do tune in for our next shows. Coming this Saturday, December 9th, is Nikki S. with another segment of Journey into Passion. And she's created this 30-day challenge. And if you follow her on her social media, you'll see some of the videos and some of the exciting people that she has enlisted in order to help make that possible. So do check her out. And I promise in 2 weeks I will be returning right before the winter holiday closes, or at least commences for us to enjoy. I'll come back with another segment in a year-end review. Until then, thank you for listening to me, meeting and just chatting with Mitchell Levy, and listening to Everyday Folks on a weekly basis. Until next time, take care of yourselves and enjoy your day.
Take care, everybody.